On December 1st, 1998, the one-season-old Arizona Diamondbacks shocked the world. They broke the bank to sign the best left-handed pitcher in all of baseball, Randy Johnson. The Big Unit, as they called him, because he stands 6 feet 10 inches tall, which might make me unqualified to talk about him, but let's do this. Before ever wearing purple in Arizona, Randy had accomplished a ton. A Cy Young Award, 5 All-Star appearances, 4-time American League strikeout leader, an 18-2 season in Seattle, 1-time traumatizing John Kruk, 1-time almost traumatizing Larry Walker, and an 11-start stretch in Houston where he went 10-1 with a 1.28 ERA. Now, what if I told you, entering his age 35 season and first year with the Diamondbacks, his best had yet to come? Right from his very first start, he pitched well. On opening day, he struck out 9 Dodgers in just 7 innings, only allowing 2 runs. Those 9 strikeouts were the least he'd have in any of his first 5 starts. Talking about Randy Johnson's starts and ends with strikeouts, he has the second most in MLB history and the most for any left-handed pitcher. He would not have climbed this high without these ungodly years in his late 30s we're focusing on today. I was about to sit down and run all the numbers to see if anyone had more strikeouts than him during the 4-year deal he signed with Arizona, but then I realized he led MLB in strikeouts each of the 4 years, so yes, he clearly won that race. As if throwing harder than practically anyone with an untouchable slider on top of that left any doubt either. Cocaina Garcia got the nickname for having hitters look like they were on drugs when they faced him, when Randy Johnson probably deserved that more. In his first season as a Diamondback, he was second among all pitchers in ERA, ERA+, WAR, shutouts, strikeouts per inning, and FIP, along with being third in WHIP and hits allowed per inning. He led baseball in strikeouts, innings, complete games, and batters faced. Batters faced is a stat you've probably never seen someone bring up before, but I want to use it as a huge point of why this Randy Johnson run was insane. Randy Johnson, including the times he stood in the box, faced nearly 1,200 opponents one-on-one in 1999. No one since surpassed that until Shohei Ohtani in 2022, who pitches and hits full-time. Randy Johnson was just out there giving length, both literally and figuratively. For his age 35 season, he made 35 starts, pitched 271 and two-thirds innings, and struck out 364 batters, to the tune of a 2.48 ERA. Dominance at a volume we, quite frankly, will probably never see again. And he did it at an age old enough where he could run for president. Randy had been a league leader in strikeouts 4 times before 1999, then beat his career high by 56 in his first year as a D-back. You also can't overlook what the league was like around him. Offense was,
There it goes!
A lot bigger at that time. The league-wide run environment was way more hitter-friendly during this time, making the lives of pitchers much harder. I mentioned the ERA Plus stat earlier, so I'll break it down in more detail here. ERA Plus takes a pitcher's earned run average, which is the rate of how many runs they've been responsible for giving up every 9 innings, and puts it on a scale where 100 is always average, no matter what, and higher is better. It basically wants to reduce how good a pitcher is at preventing runs down to one number that uses their competition around them and the ballparks they pitch in to grade everyone equally. Like, everyone ever. Blake Snell's ERA when he won the Cy Young in 2023 was 2.25, and his ERA Plus was 1.82. Both are really good, 82% above average in fact. Randy's ERA was over 20 points higher, but even better compared to the circumstances he was working with. And again, he did that at a workload you're never gonna see again, and one they honestly hadn't seen in a long time. This was crazy to them back then. He is absolutely gonna go down as the last pitcher to ever throw 270 innings in a season, and that was the most anyone had ever had in a season at that time in over 10 years. It should be no surprise that he coasted to a Cy Young Award this season. So, even though old man Randy Johnson just had one of the craziest seasons ever, both in terms of rate and volume, he was gonna have to do it in the playoffs now. And he gave up 7 runs in his only playoff game of the season. D-backs go home in the first round. Hey, it was the team's second season in history. Having all this go on so soon is still really cool. Is Randy Johnson going to keep it up the next year at age 36, though?
Yeah.
In a turn of events that shows Randy might have been more machine than man, if being taller than LeBron didn't already give that hint, he basically did it all over again. 35 starts of nearly 250 innings, 347 strikeouts, better than 80% better than the average pitcher around him at preventing runs. His lead over number 2 in MLB in strikeouts was 63, which was more than the gap between 3rd place and 31st. Pedro Martinez put up almost 12 WAR in maybe the best pitching season of the century so far in 2000, and Randy still struck out 63 more batters than him in the same season. Pedro went down far more beloved among the two in this era, though. Pedro had his own Jack in the Box, video game commercials, a Yoda mask, and a much more personable and fun-loving image. Randy was all business. So locked in to the point where the image he had was being mean, scary, and unapproachable. It wasn't until after his career you could see more layers of who he was as a person in a positive way. With his passion for photography and separation from his intense, frightening reputation on the mound. But in the moment, he did not have that same level of likability. And I think that's why Pedro is remembered more fondly, even with Johnson in some ways climbing higher. Randy dominated Cy Young voting again though in 2000, picking up the third of his career. But what Arizona didn't have that they had in 99 was team success. The D-backs missed the playoffs, even with Randy proving he was turning back the clock 5 to 10 years almost every night. Actually, I'm wrong. A guy who already had a good chance to go down as a Hall of Famer was now having the best seasons of his career in his late 30s. And I know who that sounds like. A lot of guys from this time, in fact. But even if you look past the frame Randy had and just said, huh, no way that guy's juicing, there is zero link out there between Randy and performance-enhancing drugs. For all intents and purposes, he was cleaner than Steve Harvey's head. Now, what if I told you that for 2001, he got even better? Randy led all of MLB in strikeouts, ERA, WHIP, hits allowed per inning, strikeouts per inning, pitcher WAR, FIP, win probability added by a pitcher, and arguably more importantly, championship win probability added by a pitcher. 372 strikeouts, though, man. The third most in a season of everyone since 1900, and the most by far in a season since 1975. Well, the most by far if you remove other Randy Johnson seasons. He became the first pitcher ever to strike out 300 in three straight seasons. He struck out 20 in one game on May 8th, 2001, the most ever in a game by a lefty.
Randy Johnson has tied the Major League record for strikeouts in a 9-inning game. 20 for the big unit.
For the second time in MLB history, there was a pitcher in a qualified season who had double the amounts of strikeouts as hits against him. And, you probably guessed it, Randy Johnson. He was just dominating. And kept improving his performance in Cy Young voting, too. A three-peat, where an old guy by baseball standards just kept getting better and better and better, and climbed into a tier of performance we've never seen before, and definitely not since. You might not have known about this level of dominance he was on. There is something from his 2001 season you definitely did know, though. To borrow a graphic from John Boyce, one of the best creators to ever live, I don't want to harp on this too much because, honestly, it's not relevant to the big story here, but Randy Johnson obliterating a bird with a fastball is the highlight of this stretch to the average person, not his unprecedented pitching skills. So, let's shift this to the other thing you might know about Randy Johnson and the 2001 Diamondbacks, the postseason.
Johnson. Inning over.
Cy Young Award, and he could do it this year.
He brushed the moth off, and now his 3-2 pitch to Williams. Got him. All in. Number four. His 111th pitch of the night is his last. Diamondbacks win it 4-0. They're up 2-0.
6 appearances, 2 shutouts, no start that went fewer than 7 innings, no game allowing more than 3 runs. His rate of run prevention and volume continued, because of course it did. He shut out the premier team of the 90s in both the NL and the AL less than 2 weeks apart, on some of the biggest stages you could create. His start in Game 6 of the 2001 World Series kept the D-backs alive when their backs were firmly against the wall. Here, I'll make this relatable to people who understand every single stat I've said in this video. The Yankees shoved the Diamondbacks into a locker. Randy Johnson got them out of it. 7 innings, 2 runs, 7 strikeouts. Plenty of help from the offense, though, to be fair. But pitching 7 innings at age 37 in Game 6 means you're done. Game 7 is the very next day. No way you can rest and recover that quickly. The body doesn't work like that. I mean, he threw 104 pitches 24 hours ago. There is no way you'll see him in.
Bob Brenly is coming out. And Randy Johnson is coming in.
Oh my God. After falling behind in the 8th inning and needing to stop the Yankee bats for good, the D-backs actually did it. They called Randy Johnson's name. He faced 4 batters in Game 7, 4 more than he had any right to. Fly out, ground out, then a punch out. He silenced the Yankee bats to give the D-backs a chance to win the World Series. And then they did it. A truly unfathomable night for Randy, capped off in being a co-World Series MVP, and more importantly, a champion who came through for his team when they needed it the most. Randy Johnson was the winning pitcher of a World Series Game 7 it is amazing he even was able to lift his arm for. This man is not human. So would you be surprised to know he turned in arguably his best year of this entire stretch in 2002? The highest ERA plus of any season in this stretch at 1.95. His standard old 2.32 ERA was also his lowest as a Diamondback. 260 innings and 334 strikeouts as well. Because old man Randy Johnson does not slow down ever, for any reason. Oh, and if you haven't noticed, he's now the only pitcher ever to have 300 strikeouts in 4 straight seasons. 24-5 record, over 1,000 batters faced, 8 complete games, 10.7 WAR, and now, for the first time in this stretch, more continuous improvement in this department, a unanimous Cy Young Award. Absolutely, positively unbelievable. I'm running out of things to bring up because he just keeps consistently putting up these totals every year. It shouldn't be possible for a flame-throwing old guy. Both of those things in today's game typically raise flags for inconsistent, volatile, or unpredictable performance. Randy was proving to be a lock to give you the exact same type of season, and that season was one pitchers today don't even dream of sniffing, because these numbers have proven to be so far beyond what guys have approached in today's game. The more time passes, the more of a robot, demigod, jacked Peter Griffin Fortnite skin figure the big unit was. Not even the same species as a typical MLB pitcher. This marked the end of the 4-year deal he signed for the D-backs to begin this stretch, and I would wager this was the best free agent deal ever given out in baseball. There's nothing like this before or since. Well, maybe something to do with the guy I'm about to bring up in a second. The only hypothetical comp I could give you is this. Imagine if Max Scherzer didn't sign with the Mets in 2022. Imagine he signed with, like, the Salt Lake Kumquats expansion team. And then Scherzer, a guy with so much accomplished already in his career and moving to a new team in his mid to late 30s, actually wound up being better and assembling more achievements than at any point of his career. That sounds crazy, especially with how Scherzer's Mets tenure ended in real life. Randy Johnson basically did that, and that's the only analogy I could sort of give you to make this make sense in modern MLB context. After that season, Johnson signed a 2-year extension to stay in Arizona. He finally caught the injury bug in 2003, though, missing about half the season with a right knee injury. He'd get traded to the Yankees in 2005, put forth a few more good seasons after leaving, then coming back when he wanted to be closer to family. In 2009, he became the most recent and possibly last pitcher ever to record 300 wins. Oh, who am I kidding? It's tough for guys to get to 200 today. He got his 300th win in his age 45 season. 6 years later, he was a first ballot Hall of Famer with a Diamondbacks cap on his plaque, cementing his unparalleled peak dominance with them forever. But as you may have noticed, I did ignore 2004 on purpose, because I have to end this story by showing you, through everything else we talked about, he still hadn't climbed to the highest point of his career yet. 2004 was his last All-Star season. At 40 years old, he still pitched over 245 innings and led MLB in FIP, WHIP, and hits per nine, finishing second in the Cy Young Award race. This truly was the last dominant year of his career, which makes it more fitting that the most dominant night of his career was in this stretch. Reminder, as a 40-year-old man, he took the mound in Atlanta on May 18th, 2004. He was carving through the Braves lineup like a glowing 1,000-degree knife. Barely anyone put up a fight against a really good team with plenty of All-Star and Hall of Fame-level talent. Guys were just not standing a chance. A little over 2 hours after he first touched the rubber, he was 26 up, 26 down. One out away from a perfect game. This final fastball was 98 miles an hour. He hadn't lost a tick at all. 27 batters and 117 pitches into the game. A perfect game. The oldest pitcher in history to do so. 13 strikeouts in this one too, on top of all that. The big unit had his biggest moment, officially capping off one of the most untouchable stretches of success an athlete has ever had. This time, for the whole world to see it.